And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Katie Schweitzel, who occupies a very important coordinating position. In fact, that's what she is, a library coordinator at the Palmer Public Library. Welcome, Katie.
Good morning. Thank you.
And to be specific, it's library services coordinator. So you don't coordinate the world, just services of the library.
It's true. Yeah. Normally, positions like mine focus on either kids or youth or adult programming. But we don't do that at our library. It's all under one umbrella. And so it's all under services.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Well, now that the weather has become a little bit cooler, I see a little snow on the mountains. There's rain occasionally coming down. School has begun. It's the beginning of another year with programming and services at the library. We have recently had a representative from the Friends of the Palmer Library Inn talking about their work. So let's, since you've been here before, you and Beth have both been in, what can we look forward to this fall?
We are really excited about what's going on this fall. Over the summer, we rededicated ourselves to providing something while school is on break throughout the school year in the summer. And so we get our first opportunity here at the end of the month. We combed through various school calendars trying to find when students would have some time on their hands.
Right.
And targeted those dates and times to plan some extra events at the library. And so we get to start at the end of the month. The kids have a two-day break, October 30th and 31st. And so we coordinated with quite a few schools and libraries in the area, and we're bringing an astronomer up to put on a fantastic program. He's a retired astronomer and was a consultant with NASA, and then now he takes his knowledge and his background, as well as all of his equipment on the road, and shares what he knows and what he has access to. So we thought that would be perfect for our community for when kids have a break from school to have him come in. And so he'll come during the school break, and it's open to families in the entire community, but just to share his expertise and then let us all have a go at his equipment to see what he's able to see in the night sky. So he's just our first up this year. We've been in touch with a few other presenters in the area as well who will come in during breaks and simply just try to provide some quality programming for students or families when we know they'll already have some time on their hands.
Okay, and I'm looking, while you're speaking, I've turned my eyes toward the Palmer Public Library calendar. First of all, I begin by saying, this is a really nice website.
Thank you. Our staff works very hard on it. We have a very small handful who work together, they coordinate together, and they are constantly updating and refining. So thank you. That is the hard work of a small handful of staff at the library.
Well, websites are special. Very often, they are necessary. They provide good information, but sometimes they need to have fresh eyes come to them and look and say, "Can I get around here? Can I navigate? Can I find things?" And I was impressed. First of all, there's a link off the City of Palmer website. Very easy, the Palmer Library. You click there, you go, and you have a choice that is really, really fairly easy. So I've navigated with a couple of clicks to the Palmer Public Library events, and I see you have a very nicely color-coded, which is also helpful, with a color key to say if you are looking for a program for all ages. For example, you've been talking about the astronomy program on the 30th of October. You can see when it is, that it's color-coded for everyone, what time it is. And if you put your arrow over it, up pops up with a little bit of detail, the that tells you what you've just said and even more.
Yes. Yeah, the website has been so useful for us. And you're right, when everything's current and updated, it is fantastic resource and reliable place for information. I think that's what motivates us, because if there is an inaccuracy, the confusion it causes can take quite a bit of cleanup to fix it. And so we're pretty motivated to stay ahead of the confusion and some of the phone calls or drop-ins we get when information doesn't sync up quite right. So
who maintains this?
Heidi Dedman is our staff who oversees the website. And then we have two other staff, Caitlin Rock and Kate Turner, who also fill in and make sure they take updates, appointments, any information coming in. And then in their spare time, when they're not covering the front desk, then they'll all visit the website and make sure the different areas they oversee are accurate and running correctly.
Well, from what I can see, they've done a wonderful job, but they have the infrastructure making it easy here to see. And if you want, you can print it off, all kinds of fun things. But I think it extends what was said by the Friends of the Palmer Library, that really we're talking about a place that is more of a hub with a lot of things happening. It's not just a place where books go to be borrowed.
It's true. It's true.
And just looking at the various people that are meeting, for example, the meeting room, which is another very, very significant thing. We've been over there at a lot of events, and it's open to the public, and we can see that the Valley Quilters Guild and others are using it. Yeah.
They are. Yeah, that room gets a lot of traffic and a lot of visits from various organizations in the area. And that's something that's been kind of nice. Our calendar online will mention when a group meets and who the group is. And it's just been a nice way, if someone is interested or maybe looking to get involved in different areas, they know when and where to get a hold of a group or to be in touch with people who are already involved. So it's worked really well that way to help people connect on their own and get involved in ways that they would like to.
I also noticed that you have a staff picks section there with a variety of books and a little bit of discussion of why. And I see your name, perhaps, and others there who have said something about a particular book.
Yeah, we love that. Yep, staff picks. That has been something our patrons have been following. It turns out a staff member of the library's, Crystal, gives great recommendations. So a lot of people will log on to the website strictly to see what Crystal's recommending. She reads a lot, she writes a lot, and recommends some really great titles as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
So there obviously are more events and things happening we have time to talk about in detail. I'm curious about, for example, the library as it moves into 2018. Are there any more long-term plans for development, et cetera? I understand the rumor has it that you're going to be warm this winter.
We have a boiler again. Yeah, we have heat, so we're thrilled. The library is very warm right now.
Okay.
Something we were approached about a couple years back, and it was pretty daunting to take on, was some schools were faced with tough decisions on needing to make some cuts on their staff. And so some schools in the area ended up losing their on-site librarians. And so we were approached asking if we could fill the void. And it was a lot to take on, because to serve each of the schools who were asking with several classrooms, it just was a full-time job in and of itself to try and do that. And so we've got a plan over the year to start getting into some of the schools that don't have a librarian on site.
Okay.
And their libraries are volunteer run. And it's different by school, but we're starting this year with one school, and we'll take it this one school year and see how it goes with putting together programs and activities for the kids who come visit the library to be able to do something literacy related and stay busy for that 20-30 minutes that they're visiting the library, and actually get into the books and get into the collection and discover. And so that's been a challenge of mine over the last month or so, was to put together a dozen or so programs where a volunteer could run it, mm-hmm. but then you could keep 25 kids kind of busy for 20, 30 minutes in using the library in a way that's actually beneficial and fruitful, and in a way where you're actually using the library and not just pulling books off the shelves. And so we are hoping that it goes smoothly, that they're able to just unroll programs, and then we can reach out to more schools that way too. And
so will you, from the public library as a resource, go there as well for part of that, or how will that work?
Yeah, the requests are different by school, and so I'm always happy. I think it's important to just give kids an invitation, and adults too, put a friendly face on the library and welcome them in. Come on in. This is who I am and who's putting the information together for you. And so I love to be able to stop in, and then I'm just not able to be there full time or to be there for every class that comes. Sure. But for whatever respect that they would like someone there, we do our best to get there, to invite people in and just let them know. Like you said, it's not all about books. There's more going on.
Sure.
And that we're there.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Do you find, I know that there are people who are either not in school or are homeschooled or are tourists or people in the community to come and use the library. To what degree do students from nearby schools use the library?
Well, from nearby schools, some of the charter schools use the library parking lot as a bus stop. So some of those kids have no choice. They're stuck till they get picked up.
Oh, okay.
And so we plan on it. We know right around 3:30, there's going to be a couple busloads of kids coming, and a good amount of them come in to use the library or to hang out till they can get picked up and go home. And in addition to that, a lot of homeschool programs will team up, or families will partner up. And those are some of the groups that will rent the meeting room throughout the day during the week and get their kids together and bring in a presenter and kind of put their own programs on. It's all in the name of education and to enhance whatever they're studying at home. But they still come in and use the library. And they're really great participants with a lot of our evening programs coming in as well. And so there's a really wide variety of students who come from all different schooling backgrounds. And some are required to by mom or dad or whatever.
Sure, right.
But then some, yeah, they're simply curious. They can get on the computers. We are able to pick over what their preferences are pretty good with some different books they like. So we're able to keep those on hand, and they can use them while they're there. And so so it's been pretty welcoming. And we're really happy that they're great when they come visit. And so we're really happy to see the kids come in.
Sounds good. And you sort of casually mentioned technology and computers. How is that all working in terms of bandwidth, availability, and equipment access, the rest of that? Because I know over the years, people do come in and do research and other things there.
They do. And with more and more entertainment being available online, it seems like bandwidth is an ongoing progress all the time. We always need more, always want it faster. And you're right, wintertime gets a little colder. People are looking to hang out a little bit and wanting to stream whatever it is that they're looking into. And so that is an ongoing project for us, is to always increase how much access to the internet we can get for everybody and for our staff too.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I'd say, yeah, all the time we're working on it, and it's always being reviewed and seeing what we can do with our budget to increase.
So do you find... For example, that you have computers that are available and connected to the internet. Do you find an increasing number of people wanting to come in and use their own equipment to access the internet through the library system?
They sure do. A lot of times we might not even know. They'll just quietly come in, pull out. I mean, some of the devices are so tiny, you would never know.
Right.
But you can tell when some busier times are. Simply, you can't pull up a web page. Here it takes quite some time, and then you realize, everybody in here has a device, and I'm sure it's, you know, feeding off our Wi-Fi or eating into it. And so, yeah, people have all sorts of things they bring in, and it's great. They've got free, easy access. And then we're there to do our best. We really try our best to help everybody with their devices, but sometimes there's only so far we can go to problem solve and help folks.
Are there any restrictions in terms, you know, if everybody came in on a real rainy day and started streaming a movie, I suspect slow would not adequately describe what would happen.
It's true. And unfortunately, it's kind of first come, first serve. So okay. Lethanote, we're so sorry. It's a busy time right now, and it's simply how it is. And
okay.
so
okay.
we always invite them back during a quieter time, though.
Oh, sure.
Those
sure.
happen, too.
Make that happen.
Yeah.
So, and are you looking to see any, you've done the boiler, which is good.
Yes.
You're going to have heat this winter. are there any plans for next year, significant changes in the way the library is set up or any aspect of it that you'd want to mention today?
Oh, I'm not sure it would be anything that would be noticed by the public. There are always some maintenance and upgrades going on. And so I know we've got a little bit kind of security-wise and utility-wise just trying to upgrade and update. And so I know there'll be quite a bit of work put into that, but I'm not sure anyone sure. walking in would notice Even any notice. Difference.
Yeah. So what if someone doesn't walk in but drives into the parking lot and drives up to that book deposit? I know last time you were here, we talked about possibilities of painting or changing the way it looked or was used, et cetera. What do you have about that?
We are still working with our public works department to come up with something that serves both as a shelter and that can be maintained and kind of, shoveled around and mowed around and not create disturbance on the sidewalk. So we're all about it. It's been a while since we've had someone come forward. Once in a while, we'll get somebody eager for their Eagle Scouts degrees to come in and want to do something for us, but someone that hasn't been taken on yet. So we're still talking about it. We still want to, but it seems the design and then the go ahead and get it done part.
Well, what a wonderful, I just think someone's going to grab that as a project. And you're right. It could be a scouting group, some other group that would say, okay, let's work with everybody here and make this happen. And so this program with our talking about it, a listener may hear it, talk to someone else, and who knows? You may have someone knocking at your door saying, no, we've got an idea. How about this?
We would be thrilled, and we're open to all sorts of creativity. You're right. There's all sorts of opportunity to make it clever and fun. I guess I can forget how fun it is for kids to just simply come up and dump their books into a book drop. And so it's already a draw as it is. So to have something kind of clever and fun there would just, I think, just add to the experience for people coming to the library to have some
Well, I'm just reminded because I went, and you probably did too, the Alaska State Fair. And if you go there, you go into the animal barn. And in the animal barn, there's a little red barn, the sudsy hand-washing station.
Oh, yes.
And yeah. For many people who are listening, they're aware that I've gone by there, and just people keep on using it. And what happened, it became fun to wash your hands, and important, particularly when handling all the animals and the rest of it to before you go off to eat food.
Yes.
But that kind of idea, it can be enjoyable.
It can't. It's funny you mentioned that. We hung out there a whole lot this past state fair at the hand washing station because, the water was freezing cold, but it did not matter. It was fun and just a novelty for my kids anyway. So,
sure.
We were thrilled they were washing their hands, so we hung out there a whole lot.
Okay, just remind people as we're finishing up some of the sort of library 101 things, like when will it be open during the winter? Are there any hour changes from the summer, that kind of thing?
Sure, our hours stand year-round, so we always open at 10 a.m. Mondays and Wednesdays are our later days. We're open until 8 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, we're open until 6, and then Fridays and Saturdays, we're open until 2. And if folks are a little torn, they've got some business they need to do, we generally work as closely as we can with the Wasilla Library to offset each other's hours.
Okay.
So if we close a little early on those Fridays and Saturdays, that's when they're open in the evenings over there. So if anyone has any urgent business or anything they need to take care of, we try to work together to make sure there's some hours between the two libraries people can stop in.
Okay. And lastly, I notice once again on the webpage, you have a contact place there. You have direct lines for both the library director, Beth Scow, and yourself.
Yes.
And you have a front desk number. All of that is clear, easy to see. And then you have an easy way to contact the library director and send a message, or you, the library services coordinator, and send a message. That is one of the nicest, cleanest things I've seen. I mean, it's right there. It's all easy.
It is, and it works. I get messages every day, mostly from community members, and it's a fantastic way for whatever is going on. It's all over the place for the sort of things they're contacting us about, but it works, and we're able to respond in this manner as well. So it's a great way to be in touch, or if you have any concerns you want to bring forward or praise you want to give back, people, all sorts of things come in, and it's a great way to communicate.
Okay. Mike Malewski here. I've been talking with Katie Schweitzall, and we've been talking about the Palmer Library in some of its aspects. Any last comment before we finish up, Katie?
Oh, to come on down and see us, and definitely think of us during school breaks. We are working to make sure there's something going on for everybody. So check us out.
Okay. All right. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malewski. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.